Well, we've been celebrating Jesus' birth, focusing upon the birth of Jesus Christ, as we should. And I'm struck with the fact that Jesus had to grow, just like we all have to grow. In Luke 2:52, it says that Jesus grew in wisdom, in stature, in favor with God, and in favor with men. And so Jesus had to grow as a person. And God is calling each one of us to grow as Jesus and to grow into Christ. And today I'd just like to talk about our purpose together as a congregation. That we are growing all together into the full stature of Jesus Christ. I love Jeff's Lord's Table this morning and how we make a covenant as a church family. And that really expresses it, that we're making a covenant as a church family to grow together, we're a church family, and to grow into the full stature of Jesus Christ. I'd like us to turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, starting at verse 7. It says, "But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men." What does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of deceitful men and their scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you that your word speaks for itself, Lord God, and just guides us for life, Lord. And Father, we pray, Lord God, that you help us to grow into the full stature of Jesus Christ for us together. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I'm a soccer player. A soccer player plays on a soccer team. The world knows it as football. Everyone say football. All right, a football de mundial. I don't know if I got that right. And I love to play soccer. My children love to play soccer. I played soccer starting at age 7. All through the years, played in high school, played in college. But on my college team, I wasn't a starter. And during the regular season, I would play some, and I felt a part of the team, and the other players on the team really accepted me, and I felt really encouraged by that, and I felt like I had a role on the team. But in our senior years, we got into the playoffs, and we were into the NCAA tournament. I started not playing. The coach wasn't putting me into the game. And I really wanted to contribute to the team. And I know I could encourage a fellow teammates. I would even sometimes after a game when I wouldn't play in the game, after the game I'd go on a run by myself because I wanted to stay in shape to be able to play when I did get the opportunity to play in the game. But I really wanted to contribute to the team. It was my senior year. And I even talked with the assistant coach, and he set up a meeting with me and the head coach. I really made my appeal that I felt that I had something to contribute to the team, and I really wanted to help out. And finally, we made it to the Final Four. always remember the game that we played in, and I'd been playing that game. It was against Ohio Wesleyan. We went all the way out to Ohio, and it was quite a game. It was a really tough team, and one of my best players on the team, he got hit in the head and so forth. He was playing right fullback, he was playing left fullback, and one of his friends, it was a left wing, went back and played with him because he was just he was kind of losing ahead, but he was not coming out of the game. And it felt like the other team was just bombarding our goal, and our goalie was like a wall, and so forth. An incredibly exciting game, and I'll never forget. We ended up winning the game and made it to the Final Four, and that was a great victory. But I didn't play in the game, and I wanted to play in the game. I wanted to contribute, and we did finally make it to the Final Four. And I remember the coach did put me in the game, and I felt good about that and playing part of the game. I want everyone to know here that you are part of the team. You are part of the team. And you are in the game. You are contributing as part of this team. And the thing about a team, I've been involved in coaching, is that the coach wants to make every single player feel a part of that team. The coach wants every single player to be contributing, to be ready to make a difference in the game, and to, even if the person's just in the game for 1 minute, that they know that they made a difference and they've contributed to the team. Every single one of us, from the least of us to the greatest. And the Bible talks about how those that require special treatment. Everyone is part of the team. And we're a team. This passage that I just read really is about teamwork. And a team grows together. A team doesn't just have one player that's a superstar and everyone else is just sitting on the side. I know some of us who are sports fans know about the Miami Heat and how there was this big to-do about LeBron James, and he's going to announce the team that he was going to, and he had this big thing set up, and the news were there, and the cameras were on him, and he said he's gonna take his talents to South Beach. He's going to go to the Miami Heat. But you see, the thing about it is, and they're going through that maturation process, they're going through that growth process as a team. That I saw when they got to the finals, and they did make it to the finals last year, but I saw how they devolved, and they had the three superstars. They had LeBron James, and they had Dwayne Wade, and who's the third guy? Chris Bosh. Yes, all right. But they reverted to playing one-on-one. And the best teams, the best basketball teams, the best football teams, they pass the ball. They have a lot of movements. They are able to share the ball and work and get different ones involved. But what happened is they got to the finals and the pressure was on. They devolved into one-on-one play. And they were not able to get past the Dallas Mavericks. And the Mavericks won the NBA championship. At Living Grace Christian School, I'm blessed to be part of a great staff team. I tell you, this team is just a beautiful team to behold. It's a pleasure to work with them because there's a generosity of spirit about them. And there's a giving heart. And that just pervades the entire school environment. All the families and the parents and the students. And it's a great thing when you see a team that is working together. Everyone has a role. Everyone has a part to play. And it's very catching. There's a contagious atmosphere to it. There's a joy-filled environment when everyone is working together. And that's what God calls us to. And when we are a team, a good team, a team grows together. That's really what I want us to catch today, that it's not just about me and even me and whether I'm serving the Lord. But a good team grows together. A good team learns how to pass the ball together. They learn how to, when Magic Johnson's making that pass, and at first when Magic Johnson was making all his great passes, he'd hit someone in the head and they didn't know the pass was coming. And he had to tell people, you might think that I'm way over here and you're over there and all these players are in between and I don't see you, but I see you. Because he was an excellent passer, excellent team player, excellent leader. We see each other. We're able walk together and contribute together and work the ball. A team grows together and is alert and is able to pass the ball together and work together. And in verse 7, it says, going back to Ephesians chapter 4, it says, but to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned to it. Each one of you are part of the team. Each one. Every last person is a part of the team. And grace has been given to each one of us. This speaks of equipping grace. Grace to do the work of God. That we are equipped. I recently saw, I was impressed by someone that had a lot of tools. And this person just continues to over time, gain tools. And I'm amazed at the various tools that he has. Well, he's equipped. He has a desire to be able to do anything with his tools. And I guess sometimes when he comes up to a new job and he doesn't have the tools for it, he buys new tools. All right, well, he's equipped for any job. And a person that is a master craftsman knows that they need tools. They need tools to do the job. I'm sure Jose, you know, he gathers tools over time to be able to do the job. Kevin, all right, different ones. All right, all of our great master craftsmen in this congregation. All right, if you ever need electrical work done, call on Kevin. If you ever need paint done or windows done, call on Jose. All right, okay, these are master's craftsmen, and they are equipped. All right, they have the tools that they need to get the job done. Well, we are given tools to share Christ. These are tools that God has already given us. In some respects, we have to recognize that we have them. But we've been given these tools to share Christ. In verse 8 it says, this is why it says, when he ascended on high, Christ led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. You need to know that Christ has captured your enemies. That your enemies are in prison. That every single one of your enemies, you might think of an enemy that you have right now, maybe some kind of oppression or some kind of thing that's going on in your family or some kind of thing that's coming against your mind. You need to have the absolute 100% confidence that that enemy is in prison. That that enemy has been captured. And that you are free from that enemy. You don't have to fear that enemy. That enemy is in prison. That enemy is defeated and defeated forever. He's not getting out of jail. He's not getting parole. That he is forever defeated. And what that does for you is that enables you to be free to serve the Lord. I love Deborah's message last week and how I shared about how Jesus is a different king, which has been something that's been on my heart since my college days. And how Jesus is a different king. I remember the book, The Upside Down Kingdom. Everything about Jesus is different. Everything about the kind of king he is different. And Deborah shared how what king would give up his life for his subjects. Usually it's the other way around. What king, we think of kings nowadays, what king would give up his life for his subjects? Well, we have a different king. Usually when a king comes back from a great battle, he's being showered with gifts. I mean, he's already rich, but he's given more gifts. And the people shower him with gifts, and he becomes richer and richer and richer. Well, this king gives us gifts. Says, when he ascended on high and led captives in his train, all these captives that he has handcuffed and imprisoned, and gave gifts to men. Jesus is the kind of king that gives gifts to you. He's not necessarily expecting gifts from us, but he gives gifts to you. Look at verse 11. It says, he was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers. These are grace gifts. They're for a purpose. I'd like us to turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 4. To let you know that this giving of gifts, that he's giving gifts not just to those that you might think are spiritually in the clouds, but those that are each one of us. Romans 12:4 says, just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function. So in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Each of us belong to all the others. We're not an island to ourselves. Each of us belong to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. Again, these are gifts of grace, gifts of charisma, the grace of God that is upon each person's life. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. A lot of people don't like to say, well, I'm good at such and such a thing. They have a hard time saying that. You don't have to say it. Just use your gifts. It says, let him use it in proportion to his faith. God is encouraging us not to have false modesty about what we've been given. God has given us gifts for the sake of using them for the advancement of his kingdom. It says, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. Use that gift. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. The gift is from God. That's not something that we boast about in ourselves, but God has given us a gift to use for the advancement of his kingdom. There are other gifts listed in 1 Corinthians 12. You can read those another time. But the point is here that each one of you has been given a gift to share with the body. And it's for a purpose. What could that purpose be? Why does God give each one of us gifts? What is his purpose for us? At Living Grace Christian School, there's a way that we make each student feel special. And that is we sing happy birthday to them on their birthday. And we sing happy birthday to them in front of the whole school. And we share about who they are as a person. Sometimes some of the kindergartners I don't know very well, so I have to call on Mrs. Perez to say some things about a kindergartner. But we just try to edify them. And then we pray for them. And we pray that we just commit them and their family into the Lord's hands for this next year. And we pray God's grace upon them, that they would continue to grow into the full stature of Jesus Christ, that they would grow this next year after the Lord. And that's the same prayer for us as a church this year, that we would grow into Christ, that we would grow individually into Christ, that we would grow corporately into Christ, that we would grow numerically. My prayer is for Christ to be your all in all. My prayer is for Christ to bring more flock group leaders that are willing to really be those others-focused champions, to gather people into homes, as Acts talks about, house to house. And so people can share Christ with one another. And that God would add to our number daily, as it says in Acts chapter 2. The key point is growth. And why are we to grow? Well, there are five purposes that are given in these verses 12 and 13, for us as a congregation as we begin the new year. So let's look at these in verses 12 and 13. Going back to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4, verse 12. Number one, to prepare God's people for works of service. To prepare God's people for works of service. That's why God gives us that gift. It's always others focused. To prepare God's people for works of service. This word prepare means to put right. When we are equipped to serve, we are put right. The verb is also used for with fishermen that were used in mending nets, to prepare the nets, to mend the nets, untwisting the nets. They get all twisted up, repairing the holes, cleaning the nets, making the nets ready. And so when we have these equipping meetings, yes, it's for others. And again, I want to encourage you to come to my house, not only those that are leaders, but those that are coming into this ministry of really being others-focused. Anyone here is invited. This Wednesday, 7:30. But in a sense, these meetings are for others, but they're also, in a sense, for us. They're for me. Because when we are equipped, we are put right. We are put on that path that God created us for. We are put in that place of reaching our destiny and seeing what God truly created us for and really hitting the bullseye with our life. And so it's making us right. It's equipping us. It's mending us. One of the best things you can do to help your life stay on track for the Lord is making sure that you are serving God. Because if you're serving God, you've got to be ready to serve God. You're dependent upon God. You're crying out to God, Lord, help me. I need to serve you, and I don't want to just do it on my own because I can't. I need you, Lord. And so even that need of God puts us right, puts us in that right path. When we're just moseying along in life and there's no real sense of purpose, that's when we get into trouble. That's when we're not growing. God desires that we all be growing. Preparing God's people for works of service. We're being restored to what God created us for. We're being prepared to serve. And that's all of us. From Christ to the pastors and elders and to every single one of us. We're all being prepared to serve. Why do we need to grow? Look at the second half of verse 12. It says, so that the body of Christ may be built up. To build up Christ's body. Christ's body, that's us all together. We serve so Christ's body is built up. God wants us to grow. He wants the body to grow. Any body wants to grow. Your body wants to grow. Anybody and everybody wants to grow. Your body desires to grow. And so I know you want to grow. Intrinsically, you want to grow. I know you do. We all have this desire to grow. Even non-Christians have a desire to grow. They feel less than what they could be. Every single person has a desire to grow as a person. And that's why the only true way to ultimately grow is by giving your life to Christ and surrendering your life to Christ and yielding to Him and allowing Him to do His work, because we have been created by God. And He is the one ultimately that enables us to grow the way we were intended to grow. God wants you to grow. Like us to turn to Ephesians chapter 2, a couple chapters earlier. Ephesians 2:19, it says, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus Himself as the chief cornerstone. We're fellow citizens with each one, with God's people. We're members of God's household. In Him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in Him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit. We are built together as a home in which Christ thrives and lives and grows. Why does God give us gifts? Let's turn back to Ephesians 4, verse 13. It says, until we all reach unity in the faith. To be all unified in faith together. Just like a basketball team has to buy in to the coach's philosophy. From the least player to the superstars. You can tell when a superstar has not bought into the coach's philosophy and how that wreaks havoc on a team. You can tell it by the body language. I won't mention stories last year, again with the Miami Heat, but you can tell it. All right? And you can tell it when a team has not bought into the direction that perhaps the supervisor is setting for that group at work. We all have to be unified in faith together. We all have to buy in together. We all have to walk together. We all have to take it from philosophy of a coach to the faith of Christ, the faith of the Word of God. We all have to be unified in faith together. Vance mentioned the seven pillars. I encourage you to read that, the ram's horn. These seven pillars of Northgate Community Church have been there for years. They communicate. They're like guiding lights. They're like a lighthouse that help us to know how we are to walk together as the family of God. That's our faith together. We're unified in faith together. There's a song. It's a very catchy song. A lot of people like it. The song says, I did it my way. It's a very catchy song. I have to admit, I've sometimes enjoyed singing it. But really, that song expresses an immaturity. It's not a growth way of looking at life. It's an immature way of looking at life. What about that person's relationships? What about that person's friends? What about that person's wife, the person who really took on that song as a philosophy for life? What about that person's children? That philosophy of taking it to its nth degree leaves a trail of broken hearts and broken people. Here in Ephesians 4:13, the singular is used. There's a singular word. It's one person. We're all growing together as one person. We don't have an I did it my way philosophy. We have an others focused philosophy. We prefer one another and we grow together. We submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And so there's one person growing together. And so God calls us to not get disconnected, but to stay connected to the body. What is God's purpose for us? Look at the second part of verse 13. It says, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God. To be all unified in knowing Christ together. I talked a lot about having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I talked with the kids at school a lot about having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You've got to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not about just being a good person or looking good for your parents or looking good for your teachers, but you've got to have a relationship with Christ, that Christianity starts on the inside out, all right, and the fruit comes from there. All right, I talk a lot about that. But we also need to have a corporate, congregational relationship with Jesus Christ. A family grows together. They hear the voice of the Father together. I remember growing up with Mom and Dad. And every once in a while we would have a family powwow. All right, that's what I kind of call it with our children. When Sylvie wants to talk with the kids, I call the kids, all right, time for a family powwow. All right? And Mom and Dad would get us around the table and we would talk, okay, there's some things we need to talk about. All right? And we heard the voice of the Father and the Mother together. We heard, you know, okay, this is what's important. These are our values. These are how we walk together. It's just very practical things. It's how we're going to work together so that Mom's not doing all the work by herself. All right? But we're going to work together. As fathers, you will bless your wife to get a family powwow together every once in a while. That's a great way how you will support your wife and get the whole family working together. And so it's not just all, very typically, you know, happens all on the wife and the mother. But that's how you will serve and lead your wife. And we hear the voice of the Father. a family grows together. And so all the kids, it's not just, okay, whether one child is growing and the other children are just being couch potatoes, all right, or being lazy, all right? But the whole family grows together. The whole family grows in how we're to work together. The whole family grows in how we're to treat one another. The whole family grows in the values that we have together as a family. Well, it's the same thing for us as a church. We grow together as the family of God in the local church. We hear the Father together. Just like we hear the voice of the Father in the home, we hear the voice of the Father together. We are a body life church. What does that mean to be a body life church? That means that every member in the body has a purpose, has a place of serving. It also means that on Sunday morning when we come together, we all are seeking to hear the Father. We're seeking to listen to the Father. You know, there's various ones of us, you know, Pastor Rick, Dad, myself, that, you know, very freely speak in the congregation. But we want to encourage all of you to freely speak in the congregation as the Holy Spirit leads you. We are dependent upon the voice of the Father, to hear the voice of the Father. We're dependent upon God. But I'll be very honest with you. From my standpoint, I am also dependent upon you. I'm dependent upon you hearing the voice of the Father. So we want to encourage you that you learn. The Bible says, my sheep hear my voice. That as we learn to hear the voice of the Father, and as we understand that the Father is speaking to us through the Holy Spirit, we recognize the nudging of the Holy Spirit in our heart. Maybe it's just a word that points us to a scripture or encourages a prayer to share that, because that brings life to the body. 1 Corinthians 12:7 says, now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. It's for the common good. It's for all of us. In the New Testament, prophecy is not so much for predictive purposes, to predict future events, but the Bible clearly says that prophecy is for the edification of the body, for building up the body, for helping the body to grow. And we know at Northgate Community Church, anyone who has been here at Northgate Community Church for any time, we continually see that the prophetic word that comes through the body prepares us for the preaching of the word as we all seek to hear the voice of the Father. And so we're growing together as a family. We're knowing Christ together as a family. And so it's not just whether I know Christ. We're learning of Christ and we're knowing Christ together as a family. What is God's purpose for us? Look at the third part of verse 13. It says, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. To be all growing to the full stature of Christ. Growth requires change. The Christian life is a life of change and becoming more and more like Christ. Who is that perfect balance? That word perfect relates to the word maturity. Becoming fully mature in the balanced character of Christ. I want to be very clear. The way that we grow as Christians is by being connected to the body. The way we grow as Christians is by being connected to the body. Sometimes I ask people, are you going to live your life without the church? I mean, are you really? You know, I mean, someone that maybe is just kind of hasn't been going to church lately. Are you going to really live your life without the church? Where is this heading? Are you going to make this a habit where you're not going to make church part of your life? Where you're going to let work or whatever is going on in your life, even good things like education? You know, I have to take a class on Sunday morning or whatever it may be. Are you going to let that keep you from the church? Church is necessary for all of us. It's necessary for our growth as people. And I always like to remember just the view of eternity, or the view of perhaps being on our deathbed, which for us as saints is a glorious time in anticipating Christ. But if we would look back, what would we want to look back on? What would we want to see? Would we want to see frenetic activity, just running on the treadmill of life, just, you know, making ends meet, running in place? Would we want to see ourselves static or standing still? Or do we want to see that we grew as a person? That we surrendered our life more and more to the Lord, and we saw Him growing us as a person. That we use the gifts and the motivations that God has given us to make a difference in others' lives. If the arm is cut off from the rest of the body, it will not grow. Christianity is walked out in the context of the local church and supported by all of Scripture, where we're growing corporately into the whole measure of the fullness of Christ, the full stature of Christ, growth in every area. Next time I'm going to share from Luke 2:52 and how Jesus grew in the four areas, in wisdom, in stature, in favor with God, and in favor with men. I'm going to share specifically on that next time. But for now, as the body of Christ, I just want to encourage us that we are all growing together into the full stature of Christ, that this is His vision for the church. This is the New Testament church. This is His purpose for the church. And every single one of you is a big part of it. So I want all of us to be motivated that you're part of a great purpose. You're part of a great cause. And that is the Church of Jesus Christ. And each one has a part in it. Let's just stand for prayer.